Merry, Merry Christmas. Thank you for gathering with us. Welcome, welcome, welcome. And I'm not going to say good morning. I'm going to say good afternoon. All you walked in and you said, oh, good afternoon. It's 3 p.m. Merry Christmas to you guys. Thanks for joining us for our Christmas Eve services. My name is Keenan. I have the pleasure of serving on this team as the lead pastor. And just for any guests in the house, we want to welcome you. We want to give you a church family welcome. So glad you're here. To those tuning in online, we're glad you're tuning in. And to our friends over at Cumberland County Jail that we're streaming to, Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas. Glad to have you. Hey, we're a church family. And if somebody were to ask me to describe us in two words, we're a Jesus church. We love what the Lord is doing in our midst. We love being able to walk with and learn what it means to follow Him. And that's actually been the journey that we've been on as a church family here at East Point Christian Church for the last few months, that we've taken time from really Labor Day up until now to unpack what it means to not just simply be an obligated Christian, but what it means to truly be a follower of Jesus, what the Bible calls a disciple. That as people who believe in Jesus, He invites us to follow Him with our entire lives, to lead surrender lives, to lead lives where we're experiencing His here and now presence. We're empowered by His Spirit. We're equipped. We live lives of mission and purpose. And we're in this season of joyful giving. We're talking about the community center we've built, and we want to continue to lean in as a church that is choosing to follow Jesus. It's been a fun fall for us, and we kind of slowed the pace down a little bit the last few weeks, and as we've come into Christmas, to really just take a deep breath and to unpack who Jesus truly is for us. We want to live our lives for Him, but He came in a way that we just continue to try to understand the depths of who He is. There's no bottom to that deep end, that we come to know Jesus as Isaiah chapter 9 puts it, as our wonderful counselor, as our mighty God, as our everlasting Father, and as our Prince of Peace. And I think our society and our culture right now needs a little bit more Jesus, wouldn't you say? A little bit more counsel, a little bit more might from the God who loves us so much that He would come and rescue us, that we need a little bit more of that fatherly love to navigate us as children. And man, does this world need a little bit of peace right now? Pastor Matt taught this past weekend on Jesus being the Prince of Peace, and I love the fact that he brought shalom, this ancient Hebrew word of wholeness. This is what Jesus has come for, and I think there's at least a few of us in this room that could use a little bit of that today. Shalom, peace, wholeness in our hearts as we come to Christmas Eve and Christmas morning tomorrow. And tonight this afternoon, we're going to unpack this very familiar, beautiful story of Jesus as the baby that comes in the manger, that He was a promise that was given to the people Israel centuries before He ever stepped foot to earth. But my appeal for you is to not leave here and leave Jesus in the manger, because that's not why He came. He didn't come so we would simply stop at Christmas, that we would hear a familiar story and go about our business and enjoy the rest of the holiday season. No, Jesus is inviting you and me to follow Him with our entire lives. He's the one that promises abundant life. He's the one that brings that deep shalom peace into our lives, that brings the wise counsel and the might of a God who loves us, and He leads us to His Father. And maybe that's really unfamiliar to you this afternoon, and maybe it's unfathomable or unbelievable or even unthinkable. Well, I hope after spending some time together that there's just an ounce more belief in your heart, that there's just a willingness to say, I believe. I believe He came for me. You see, the Israelites, 600 years before Jesus ever stepped foot on the earth, they were in a place where they, quite frankly, weren't in a great place with God. They're in a place where they were actually quite bitter. They were broken. They felt alone and abandoned. You see, the people of God, who God had pursued all of their lives through generations, had just chosen to live lives their own way, to just go about business and under their own control, to leave the lifestyle of worshiping the one true God that we see in the Bible. And well, when you take things into your own hands, if you're anything like me, it doesn't always go well. And this was the same for the Israelites. And they were longing for their kingdom to be restored, longing for their fame to grow back to where it was, that this great and mighty people of God had found themselves not so great and mighty. Actually, they were on the brink of being conquered and taken captive by a foreign enemy. And it was in this moment, in their despair and then their worry and then their brokenness, that God whispered a promise that's so familiar to many of us if we know the Christmas story. That God whispered a promise to Israel through the prophet Isaiah that we find in Isaiah chapter 9 about who the king to come would be, what he would be like, how he would come, and what his purpose would be for Israel. Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 6, the prophet speaks to Israel and says, "For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the greatness of his government and peace, there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever." A child will be born to you, this baby in a manger. Don't worry, Israel, a child is coming. Now, for me, another child is not always the solution. Would you agree? My wife and I have learned this in real time recently. If you think, oh man, we've got some real challenges on our hands, let's just bring another child into the world. Though a blessing, not necessarily a solution, am I right? For us in our modern day, we go, a child is the solution to Israel's problems? Sounds like these guys need to pick themselves up by their bootstraps, put their heads together, and start scheming up a new plan. But for Israel, this was the greatest promise they could hear. A child was coming. You see, this was kingdom language. This was royalty. That Jesus, the son to be born, was on the threshold of stepping into Israel as the ancestor of King David. You see, King David was the hero of Israel. He was the good king, the king made after God's own heart. And here they're hearing the king is going to return. So prayerfully, their kingdom here on earth will return as well. You see, this was the greatest hope that they could hear, that there would be this king that would step into their lives and that he would bring counsel back to the kingdom of Israel. He would rule with might and push back the enemies, that he would come as this patriarch of Israel and bring a fatherly wisdom, and that he would usher in peace once again to the land. Isn't that what you and I long for? But in our own strength. We want to be known as wise, mighty. We want to be known as somebody that can care for those around us, that we can usher in peace. But as we continue to go along, it seems like it's ever fleeting in our own control, isn't it? That this Christmas might be a season where you're feeling, as out of any season of the year, the least in control. Isn't it ironic that this is the time where we're supposed to be talking about hope and joy and peace, and many of us are finding ourselves living in the most anxious season of the year. That this season historically has been full of depression, loneliness, and anxiety. You see, in the solutions of Black Friday and Cyber Monday and Giving Tuesday and credit card limits and spiked eggnog, they're not doing the trick either, are they? It's funny, you can laugh. But we try to medicate ourselves and we try to buy our way out of the brokenness we find ourselves in. And we get to the point where we just wonder, man, when will December 26th come? Maybe New Year's can be the new year, new me. Well, once you've taken a few trips around the sun, you realize that's probably not going to happen either. So is there truly hope in this baby in a manger? Is there truly hope at Christmas? Or is this all a big sham? I'll tell you, for me and our church family, Jesus Christ is the greatest hope we could ever receive. And when I say receive, I don't mean reflect upon. I don't mean read about. I don't mean simply contemplate the goodness of God coming 2,000 years ago in the form of a baby in a manger. I mean here and now hope, because Jesus Christ is alive. Because Jesus is moving in our midst, and he's moving in Greater Portland, and we're seeing people come to him into this local church, and they're saying, what is God doing in my life? I have to know more about this Jesus, that Jesus is on the move. We can't leave him in the manger. We can't leave him as this child born to us, because just as much as he was a child that was born that Christmas Eve, he's also a king that's meant to reign on a throne. You see, many of us think of this kingdom language as offensive because we live in this democratic, postmodern society where it's a me first, self-help, my truth kind of culture. And kingdom language rails against us because, well, we're the most important person on the face of the earth, right? Jesus says, would you just let me reign and rule on the throne of your hearts, and I will bring you the abundant life that you've always dreamt of, that you've always longed for. We can't leave him in the manger. We have to truly come to him and say, I believe you are who the scriptures say you are. But it's for us and him. No family member of ours can lead us there. No programmatic church gathering. It's between you and Jesus. That this king that was coming into the world was not just simply for Israel, but he's for you and for me. And we're going to unpack that. You see, there's this moment in the scriptures, in the book of Luke, where Jesus steps into not Israel's reality, simply Israel's broken and impoverished reality, but the angel Gabriel, one of God's most mighty angels, steps into the reality of a poor peasant teenage girl who's engaged to be married to one of the most obscure descendants of King David, a carpenter named Joseph. That there's this moment in time that's captured in the book of Luke that is this anthem that is declared over these people in Israel that they don't even know what they're longing for at this point. It seems like God has gone silent and dark in their lives, and they're still waiting and praying for this king, and yet Gabriel comes to Mary. In Luke chapter 1, Luke records what happens with Mary and the angel Gabriel, and it's this powerful moment of somebody that's, well, you wouldn't consider them blessed and highly favored, but somehow God does. In Luke chapter 1, verse 26, in the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, Mary's cousin, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, who was a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you. Now, Mary is in Nazareth, in the northern part of Israel, in this small little poor town. And one of God's mighty angels comes to her and says, you who are highly favored, the Lord is with you. I wonder if Mary actually truly felt like she was highly favored just looking around at her circumstances. That she's probably living on dirt floors and the house is, well, it's not a New England cape or a Victorian, I'll put it that way. That she looks around at her circumstances and says, highly favored. You see, many of us might look at our circumstances the same way. How could I be highly favored from God? How could he allow me to go through such pain or such brokenness or such financial turmoil? Or how could he let this happen if he is such a good God? See, God's not so concerned with our circumstances. He's concerned with our hearts. And why she was favored is because the Lord was with her. That it's God's abiding presence in her life that proves to all of heaven and earth, you who are favored. You who are loved, you who are cared for. You see, God's more interested in what's going on the inside. Jesus himself said, out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. That the things that we do and say is not simply something that is a result of our own self-control. It's actually a deep place in our heart, our soul, that is it well, regardless of our circumstances. This is the hope of Christmas. That Jesus came not to change our external circumstances. He came to give us a believing heart that we would come to know him and experience the joy, the hope, and the peace that we say comes with Christmas. And here's Mary. Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end." Sound familiar? 700 years later, this is the same promise that God whispered to Israel, is now declaring to Mary, that Jesus is the Messiah and he's coming into the world. And Jesus came into that poor stable laid in a manger in Bethlehem. You see, Joseph was a descendant of David, and they had to go to Bethlehem for this census, and it seemed like this very random order of events, and yet here they are in Bethlehem, the same place that David was anointed king hundreds of years prior. And it's in this moment that Jesus is born into the world. And this is where we leave Christmas, right here. The shepherds show up, the wise men, the angel, the angelic hosts declare that he's here, the Savior of the world has come into the world. And you and I, usually, we close the book, we head off to dinner plans, we open the presents tomorrow, and we move on. But as the words say here in Luke chapter 1, Jesus is meant to be a king. And it's not a king on an earthly throne, a king on the throne of our hearts. This is the journey that we're on as a church family, to understand what it means, not simply to come to believe Jesus was a good teacher, that Jesus is contained between the bindings of the Bible. No, that Jesus came to walk into your life and mine, to disrupt the religious system in our lives, to say, let me have a relationship with you. That God came from heaven down to earth. He's not asking you or I to earn our way up to him. He said, I'm going to pursue my people. I'm going to come after them. I'm going to chase them down and say, I'm standing here inviting you into relationship with me, where we can know him. We can walk with him. We can hear his voice in our lives. And the more we surrender, the more we allow him to reign here on our hearts, the more we experience the abundant life, the kingdom life. Paul in the book of Romans says, for the kingdom of God isn't a matter of eating or drinking or any of the things that we think are very tangible here on earth. The kingdom of God, this abundant life that Jesus has given us, is peace, joy, and righteousness in his spirit. It's this inner kingdom. It's this inner peace that we so long for. This is why Jesus came, not simply to be a child born into a manger, but to be a king that would reign on the throne of our hearts. And for thousands of years, we've gathered at Christmas Eve and Christmas services to declare the goodness of God given to us through this Jesus. But how about you tonight? Each and every person sitting in this room, how about you? Will you leave here tonight and leave Jesus in the manger? Or will you simply believe that he was actually given for you, that he was given for me, because it changes everything? And just like Mary, she's trembling, she's worried, she's wondering, what does this mean for my life? Could you imagine an angel stepping into your life? I don't even think I wouldn't be able to talk. I'd be face down saying, please get away from me. I don't know what and who you are. And yet here's this poor peasant girl, terrified yet intrigued. And she goes on to say, well, the word of the Lord will never fail me. She trusted. She believed, and she ushered in the Savior of the world. So Mary goes on to continue mothering Jesus. It doesn't stop at the stable in Bethlehem. She's his mom. And like any mom in this room, you want to make sure your little one's okay, right? Well, Jesus continues to grow, and he ends up leaving his lifestyle of carpenter, his vocation behind, and he steps into ministry where he becomes a rabbi with a following that starts out with a few people but winds up being thousands of people following Jesus around his hometown area of Galilee, the sea in northern Israel. And Jesus isn't simply just a good teacher. Jesus is bringing sight to the blind. He's helping the lame to walk. He's raising dead people back to life. And you'd think that the people of Israel would be eager and excited that this must be the Messiah, but what did the religious institution do? They accused him. They persecuted him. They ridiculed him. They ostracized him. That as Jesus came to do the very things that Isaiah said he would do, the very things that the Messiah was supposed to do, that Jesus Christ walked this earth and brought the kingdom here to earth, it was the religious system. It was the people who were so comfortable with their control that they wouldn't allow him to reign on their hearts. You see, Jesus walked the earth and his mother in tow, watching as her son began to change the world because he was the Savior. He was the King. He was just doing it a very different way than you and I would have imagined. This poor peasant Nazarene bringing the kingdom here on earth as it is in heaven, reestablishing joy, reestablishing peace, righteousness in our hearts. It's what we long for. It's what we're made for, is to follow Jesus and allow him to do the work in our lives. And you see, Mary, she understood the words that the angel Gabriel said. Finally, at some point when she's seeing her son just continue to just amaze the world. I wonder if Gabriel's words came roaring back into her mind, that when Gabriel said he will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High, the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end. They even ushered him in on what we call Palm Sunday as the King of Jerusalem. They would say, Hosanna, Hosanna. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, that the king would return to Jerusalem. And the promise was being fulfilled. And everyone was excited that Jesus the king had returned to Jerusalem to establish their circumstances back to the way they had hoped. But the unthinkable happened. That this king of theirs, this child of Mary's, was accused. He was arrested. He was beaten. He was tried in a corrupt court, and he was sentenced to death, crucified on a cross. And you say, Kenan, that's not the Christmas message. It's the hope of the gospel. That Jesus not only was a child born into a manger, he was not only a king that's meant to reign, he was a son given for you and I. See, Isaiah says, for to us a child is born, to us a son is given. And Isaiah's not talking about Mary giving her son. In the book of John, chapter 3, verse 16, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whoever would believe in him would not perish but have eternal life. That God the Father would give his son, Jesus Christ, for you and for me to go to the cross, to pay the way. Jesus himself says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one can come to the Father. No one can experience eternal, abundant life except through him. This is the gospel message. This is the Christmas message. If we leave Jesus in the manger, church, then we'll never experience the hope that Jesus came for. It's a matter of us believing. What do you think was going through Mary's mind when she saw her son hanging on that cross, taking his final breath, wondering, how could this be fair, God? How could you allow this to be my circumstance? That promise that you made to me when I was just a teenager, now I'm seeing this child that I brought into the world being ridiculed and crucified. The king that was supposed to come is outside the city walls, hung on a tree. But I bet Mary didn't know what was going to happen days later when the tomb was empty. that this rabbi from Nazareth was no rabbi simply at all. He was the Savior of the world. You see, when Jesus had his arms outstretched on that cross, he had you and me in mind. He said, I've not come simply to just rescue Israel. I've come that every person that would believe in me would have eternal life, abundant life, that every single day, not just on Christmas morning, they would experience the hope that's found in Jesus. They would experience the joy that's found in Jesus. They would experience the peace that's found in Christ Jesus. They would experience his love poured out for you and I to forgive us of our brokenness, of our sin, of all the things that stack up against us in this life that we feel like is the weight of the world on our backs that we can't buy our way out of. There's no credit card limit that's big enough for your and I's brokenness and sin. There's no amount of trying to buy presents away to get the guilt off of our chest. It's Jesus looking at us and saying, would you just receive me? Would you just believe in me? I want to walk with you. I want to take you on a journey. I want to bring a hope, a peace, a joy so deep into your heart that regardless of your circumstances, you can sing the Christmas anthems. You can declare the hope of the world. You can sing, go tell it on the mountain because I've met the risen Christ. Because the child that was born, the king that's meant to reign, he was a son that was given for me. My prayer for you is that you don't walk out of here and just leave Jesus in the manger. But you recognize that God sent his one and only son for you. He sent him for me. Because you and I were his joy that was before him as he endured the cross, knowing full well what would happen as he left that tomb empty. So as we close the service tonight, my prayer is simply this. If you haven't already put your faith and trust in Jesus, there's no better time than right now. There's no better time than saying, I believe. Because you know what brought favor to Mary? I believe it was her belief. She trusted him. She trusted the Lord. She trusted his goodness. She trusted that he was with her. And right now, Jesus is in the room with us. He's on the move. He's inside of every single one of us that have come to put our faith in him, that he wants to draw you and me closer and deeper into that relationship, that we could discover what it means to be one of his followers, that we discover what it means to experience his abundant life, what it would mean this Christmas to truly receive the gift that he is for you and I, for every single day going forward. So I'm going to pray as we close, and if God's stirring in your heart or moving in your mind, man, I would just open your hands, open your heart and say, Lord, I need you this season. I welcome you into my heart. I bend my knee to you. I'll allow you to reign in my life. This is the Christmas message. That he came. Born of a virgin. Laid in a manger. Showed us the way to his kingdom. Died for you and I. Defeated sin, death, and hell through his resurrection. And says, here I am. Come walk with me. Let me pray. Father, I thank you for the simple gift of your son. The most profound gift that we could receive this Christmas. The gift of his love that brings a deep peace, a deep joy. Lord, for every single person in this room, I pray they experience you in a new way, that they hear your voice, that they say yes to you, Lord, that you move on our hearts in this room, that you draw us closer to you, that you remind us of who you are, that you reign on the throne of our hearts, and that we would say yes to you today, tomorrow, and forevermore. And we stand just like Mary, maybe a bit terrified, wondering, what could this mean? Everlasting life. Jesus, I pray you do only what you can by your Spirit in this room as we receive your love in a new way. Lord, be ever present, be ever near, and lead us, Lord. Lead us in your way. In Jesus' name, amen.